is doing. So thankful to be a part of his kingdom and to see the word of God coming to pass on every hand. This is a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. I wouldn't trade places with anybody else, even if I had the choice, trade with anybody else in the prophetic timeline. I am so glad to be alive in 2017, and Israel is in the land, and Ezekiel 38 is being played out in the Middle East, and men are taking taking chips in their hands to be able to buy and sell. And we are there, sweetheart. We are right there at the prophetic gate of the prophetic end time. So thrilled this morning. Had two receive the Holy Ghost and saw somebody getting baptized in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Next Sunday night's a little bit unusual for us. We usually take off on the night, the Sunday night for Labor Day weekend. But I had a call a few weeks ago, and Brother Raul Alviar is going to be with us. He's like a third generation missionary to Brazil. And these folks have been raised up in the middle of profound revival. And I really want him to come. And I want him. So if you got plans and you got to go, go. Because it's... you're blessed either way. So, but we're going to have great church on Sunday night next week. And Brother Alviar is going to bring something and leave a signature of that revival that he's been a part of all his life. He's going to leave it here. And I don't believe that these things happen by accident. We've got some newcomers coming through the fall. Brother Wade Bass is going to be with us October the 1st. And Brother McDonald, some of you remember him from Ignite. He's going to be with us in the middle of September, and we're just going to have good church. We're learning how to have church around here, and we're figuring out how to move and walk up and down in this place. It takes a minute, but here we are, and God is moving, and good things are happening, and we're going to build a lot of memories for our babies, and we're going to see a whole lot of people filled with the Holy Ghost in this house. Well, praise God. So glad to see Brother Jerry and Sister Sarah in the house. And you want to pray for them that their health would be sustained. And just basically there because she's still fighting that infection. And God brought her little IV line in church with her tonight. And so, but you want to pray for Sister Sarah too. Her mother is in steep, steep decline and is dying, and she can't really be there with her. So just lift her up in prayer. Remember all of those apostolics in the area between Houston and Corpus Christi. They are flooded out, and it's not stopping. It's continuing. And there are just churches everywhere you look. There are apostolic churches in South Texas, and they just need your prayers, and just lift them up and pray for them. If we hear some way that we can materially help them, we absolutely will. Sister Brittany, did we get that announcement? Where are you? Are you here? Are you there? Sister Brittany Martin, there you are. So I noticed that a while ago when we asked you to stand, you were standing, but there are people standing all around you. Did you wave your hand and turn around? Turn around and wave. Yeah. Sister Brittany is coordinating tutoring beginning what date? Okay, we're looking at getting some people energized and ready to kind of coordinate it. But she's looking to set that up on Friday nights before youth sometime. And we'll be starting that here in the next few weeks. But it's for folks, it's for anybody really that's going to need help with basic literacy, or people that are still in high school or college that need help, or if you're prepping for testing, they want to help you there. And right now she's just looking for people that want to help and tutor in that area. And so just go see Sister Brittany, and she's gonna get you squared away. Living for God is holistic. It's body, soul, and spirit. And you need to love God with everything that you are. So you need to become and to grow and to optimize, to actualize in every area of your life. You don't need to. Tonight we're talking about the coming of the Lord and about the rapture. And I've heard people talk about this in terms of, well, the Lord's coming, it doesn't matter if I, whatever. But no, that's not the God that we serve. God gave you, go back and read the parable of the talents. You can't take what God has given you and bury it. You've got to take what God has given you and grow it. Grow it. And the church is heavily invested in helping people grow. And we want to help people grow in every area of your life. And I think this is just perfect that we have a passion-based ministry that is oriented toward tutoring and helping people academically. Because without a good education today, you are really, really crippled in your approach toward a full or holistic actualization or becoming everything God has called you to be. And so these are wonderful opportunities. Please take advantage of this, and let's see how many people want to be a tutor on Friday nights. She's also got her sights set on some of these kids that are coming on Sunday mornings on the bus and maybe struggle in some areas. We just want to reach out and help folks become everything God has planted within them. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to read tonight. I love the presence of God in the house. I appreciate your prayer, the good singing, the wonderful music. And all those who have prepared their hearts for the service tonight and this morning. And I just love being in the house of God. I tell you, this is getting, it gets worse. The further I go, the more I love this. And the better it gets. So tonight we're going to talk about the first resurrection or the rapture. And we are, if you notice, we're kind of making our way chapter by chapter, although the word of God in Revelation is not linear. It is not chronological. But here we happen to find a graphic metaphor of the reaping of the earth or the rapture. And there in chapter 14, there is actually a couple of metaphors here. One is the reaping of the righteous, and the other is the reaping for the judgment of God. And tonight we're going to focus on the first resurrection, or what is commonly called the rapture. We're in Revelation chapter 14, and we'll begin kind of in the middle here. Here is the patience of the saints. He just got through telling you about all the awful things that are going to happen to those that take the mark of the beast. And so after telling you all the terrible things that happen to those that take the mark of the beast, then he says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. If you love his word tonight, as you're seated, let's give God praise and thank him for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. And we bless your name and we praise your name and we thank you for the privilege of handling your word in this house tonight, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord. So this is a metaphorical picture of the rapture, or what the Word of God would call the first resurrection. It is, if you create a timeline, it is at the end of what looks like will be a 2,000-year period called the church age, or the Jesus called it the time of the Gentiles. At the conclusion of our time on the earth, or the church age, the Lord will come, the church will go. The Antichrist and the beast will be cast into hell. The millennial will begin. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. All of those things happen in juntos. They're all going to happen at the same time. And so that's the area of study for tonight. And so it's all merging together. It's the coming of the Lord. It's the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's the conclusion of the church age. It's the beginning of the next age. It's the rapture of the church, the resurrection of all the righteous from Adam all the way down to that moment when that seventh trump sounds. Revelation chapter 20 and beginning in verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. Now tell me who that might be. Let's see. They're witnessing for Jesus. They're witnessing for the word of God. They didn't worship the beast, neither his image, neither received his hand, his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they got their heads cut off. That, my friend, is the church of the living God. They are here all the way down to the end of the 7-year period. And they are going to stand tall like those three Hebrew children in the plains of Dura. And when the music played, they said, bow down and worship the great golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has placed. But they stood like mighty oak trees in the midst of that plain, and everybody around them was bowing down. I tell you, we live in a day that everybody's bowing down to everything that hell is offering up. But there's some apostolics tonight that are standing in the midst of it, and they say, we will not bow, we will not bend. And God said concerning the three, and they will not burn. I just want you to know this is going to be a wonderful day and a wonderful opportunity to stand for the things of God. And as the day grows darker, the light of God grows brighter. And as sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Do you get the connection? Do you see and understand that the greatest revival the world has ever seen is going to take place in the day that is darkest, when Satan literally incarnates upon the earth? But God has a plan. He said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will testify, prophesy. Look, this is going to go all the way down to when the sun turns to blood and the moon is darkened and the end of the age comes, the great and terrible day of the Lord. So the church is going to be here for the whole ride. And yes, you may get a chance. We don't know where the persecution is going to be. We don't know where the Antichrist will be centered. I don't think he's going to be in some little backwater in Ecuador. I don't think he's going to be in some little hamlet in central Congo. And I don't think he's going to make his way into some little places in Mississippi. I don't know. But you just wait and see. We're going to know. We're going to see. But wherever he shows up and however it goes, we've already made up our mind. When we got up this morning, we said, this is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I've made up my mind to serve God. I've made up my mind to walk in his way. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Did you make up your mind? Have you made up your mind? Are you determined in your heart that that's the way it's going to be? Come on. Your story is not just something foisted upon you, but you take pen in hand and you write your story. You influence your destiny, and God stands with you. And so they didn't worship the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark. And it begins by saying they got their heads cut off, but it ends by saying they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So they're gonna be alive. That's the church, friend. Alive during the millennial. We're going to live and reign with Christ. Isn't it bizarre that the verse starts with you getting your head cut off, but the verse ends with you living and reigning with Christ 1,000 years? Death is not a big deal to God. Death is not a big deal to God. It doesn't need to be a big deal. You got to love your life. You got to love God more than your life. He said, this is how they overcame: by the word of God, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and that they loved not their lives unto the death. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, if you've really been to the altar, you've already crossed over there. If you've been to the altar, you've already made that decision. Five of you say, amen. Amen. He said, but the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. What this is dealing with is at the rapture, at the seventh trump, at the end of the church age, at the end of the time of the Gentiles, when the Lord comes and the dead in Christ are raised up. Everything from Adam all the way down to the rapture, the first resurrection, is going to get up out of the grave. Everything is going to be judged righteous that has been in covenant with God. He says, this is the first resurrection. So there is a first resurrection. There will be a second resurrection at the end of the millennial. Those that get up there will be the unrighteous dead from Adam all the way down to the end of time, and the righteous who have lived during the millennial and died. And so that's the judgment there, but that's the second resurrection. But here, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. He's telling you, this is what you want to shoot for. You want to make it in the first resurrection. You don't want to try to make your way over into the millennial and somehow stumble into covenant with God. Listen, if you hadn't lived for God on this side of it with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, I don't think you're going to have much of a chance of living for God on the other side. That's a lie from the devil. You need to turn away from that and say, no, sir, I'm going to make my part and have my part in the first resurrection. I'm going to be ready when he comes. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, on those, the second death hath no power. The second death, if you followed it down to the end of Revelation chapter 20, after the white throne judgment, Satan and every offender, all things that lie, everything that is not like God is cast into the eternal lake of fire. And the word of God said, this is the second death. So you don't want anything to do with the second death. You might die once, but don't be on the wrong side of God at the judgment. But he said, they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So for the millennial, if you're right with God and in covenant with God right now, the next major station in your experience with God is that you will reign and rule with Christ as priests. And this will be during the millennial or for the first 1,000 years. Eternity is kind of blurry in the Word of God. The 1,000 years or the millennial is a little bit blurry, but at least we know something about it. But you're going to be, if you're right with God tonight and you stay that way, you're going to be on staff with God. And everybody that we've buried in covenant with God all the way back to Acts chapter 2, they are going to be on staff with God. And everything that's righteous from Adam all the way down to the seventh trump, they are going to be resurrected there. This is the first resurrection. This is the rapture. This is the catching away of the people of God or the church. Now, the coming of the Lord and the catching away is one event. It is simultaneous, and it is loud, and it is full of light. Now we're going to look at why we say that. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 23. Now Matthew 24 and Luke 21 essentially cover the same responses from Jesus to questions from his disciples. And it's a litany of information about the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus in 70 AD. And then later, it's a discussion of the coming of the Lord at the end of our time. So that those prophecies in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, they cover everything from the time immediately after the ministry of Jesus on the earth all the way down to our time and beyond us. We're walking right now. We're living in the time that Jesus talked about. So beginning in verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. There's always been people that say, I found the Messiah, or Christ has come. Jehovah's Witnesses have talked about he's come two or three times in the last 100 years, and they keep having to change their story and to modify their theory about that. But Jesus says, listen, if they tell you that he's come, don't be worried about it. What he's implying, and he's going to tell you overtly, you're going to know when he comes. Everybody's going to know when he comes. It's not going to be a secret, silent, stealthy snatching away. It's going to be loud and uproarious, a shout and a trumpet and light from the east to the west. For there shall arise false Christ, nah, you're not him, and false prophets, nah, you're not him, and shall show great signs and wonders, but we're not impressed. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But listen to me, if they don't preach what the Word of God says, if they don't preach what Peter said, if they don't preach what Paul said, I'm not interested. I don't care if he calls fire down from heaven. It doesn't matter if he raises the dead, puts eyeballs in a blind man. If he's not preaching Acts 2:38, 8 water baptism, you better get ready. It's going to be a heady day. All kinds of things are going to happen. Like the sorcerers of Egypt threw down their rods and they became serpents, and they turned a little water into blood. You better be ready, because Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh. There's always going to be a counterfeit. But he said, don't believe it. He's telling you, you're going to know. You're not going to have to go and see, is this the Christ? He said, you're going to know when I come back. Behold, he's in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. If we had a bolt of lightning come right now and it struck somewhere like right out in the parking lot, everybody in this house would know it. You'd have a negative inside the house for a moment. It would jolt you. Adrenaline would shoot and you would jump. Everybody in the house would catch breath and everybody would jump if we had a big bolt of light. He said, this is going to be the most atrocious, outstanding lightning bolt that you've ever seen in your life. It's going to come from the eastern horizon all the way to the west. And because he is a universal God, this is going to be a lightning bolt that goes all the way around the earth. He said, you're going to know this when it comes. It's going to be like lightning coming out of the east, shining to the west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. All he's saying there is the signs are going to be so obvious. When you're riding along and you see 50 buzzards doing this, there's something dead right there. I guarantee you, there's something dead right there. He's saying, when you see these signs happening, like I'm giving them to you, you're going to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the coming of the Lord is here. He said, it's just like the carcass at the bottom of the pile. There will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. These are dead giveaways. The stars shall fall from heaven. Nobody's ever seen that before, but it's going to happen. And the power of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Nobody knows what that is, because that's never happened before. But the sign of the Son of Man is going to be in heaven. Now, when I was a kid, I read comic books. And when Batman was going to come, there was a big bat signal that went out across Gotham City. But this is not going to be localized to one city, and it's not going to be some freak in a rubber suit in a big car. This is going to be the Lord God Almighty, and it's going to be a sign that everybody can see. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Keep watching. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. It's going to be universal. It'll be all over the earth. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is the second coming. This is the coming of the Lord. This is the great and terrible day of the Lord. This is all of those descriptives. That's what they're talking about. And he shall, when he comes now, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Now that trumpet's going to be a very constant theme throughout the writing of the apostles, here in the teaching of Jesus in Matthew 24. There's going to be lightning. There's going to be a sign in the heavens. There's going to be a great trumpet. Now listen, this is going to be God's trumpet. So it's going to be a loud trumpet. You're going to hear it. You're going to feel it. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So that's the point where the dead in Christ are going to rise. Paul calls it the last trump, and the dead in Christ arise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. There shall we ever be with the Lord. He'll send his angels. They'll gather together the elect of God from one end of heaven to the other. Now he said it's like this. It's like a fig tree. When his branch is tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. I've got a few fig trees. One of them went off early this year and it got froze. It got blasted, and so it didn't do very well this summer. But he said, when that starts happening, you know springtime is here. You know summer is coming. He says, when you see these signs, when you see all these things we've been talking about, Israel back in the land, Ezekiel 38 in the dominating the Middle East, Russia down in Syria, when you see people taking silicone chips in their hands with all their information on it and being able to open doors and get on their computer networks and all of this with identifying marks in their body. When you see those things happening, know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see these things, know that it is near. The coming of the Lord is near. The trumpet is near. The sign of the Son of Man is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass. The generation that sees all of these things take place, the generation that sees these signs happen in the world, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. I've got an idea that there are people in this room that are going to see the coming of the Lord. Now, we may not all make it, but I'm just telling you, this generation is going to see. The Jews came back in 48. They took half of Jerusalem in 67. They took all of Jerusalem in 73. And now Israel is Jewish. That is done. All of these signs are happening around us. It is common commerce. It's in the news every day. He said, when you see this, know that that generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He said, go to the bank. You can depend on it. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels, but my Father only. So you may not know the day or the hour, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to know that you're in the neighborhood. You may not know the day or the hour, the scripture is very plain, but you're going to know that you're in the neighborhood. That generation is going to see the coming of God. So he likens it here in the last part of chapter 24, but as to the days of Noah. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. He said it's going to be just like that. People are working, going to school, building their lives, buying, selling, going, coming, marrying, giving in marriage, having babies. Having grandbabies, all kinds of things going on, like life is going on. He said life is going to be going on right down to the coming of the Lord. Life is still going to be going on. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They were getting ready. They were doing this. They were going there. They were buying this. They were preparing for that. But they had neglected the primary thing, which was being right with God. So go and buy and sell and learn and build and experience and do all the things that you can do within the righteous construct of the Word of God. But before you do all those things, get it right with God. They were sitting down to lunch. They were making wedding plans. They were doing all kinds of things, but first get it right with God. He said it's going to be just like the day of Noah. They knew not till the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be just like that. Two will be in the field. People are still going to be working. One will be taken, the other left. The rapture is going to take people standing shoulder to shoulder. One taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So you want to absolutely hear the word of God and be ready when he comes. Faithful servant, doing what the Lord, don't think, they've always said he's coming. They've always talked about the coming of the Lord. He's not coming. Don't let that get in your mind. You better be ready for the coming of the Lord, because he's coming at a time that you think not. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stop for just a minute, clap our hands, lift up our voice, and magnify and praise God. Praise God. Are you glad for the promise of the Word of God? Mark 13, Luke 21 read about identically to Matthew 24. But in those days after the tribulation, this is Mark 13, 24. The sun shall be dark and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall. The powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he shall send his angels and shall gather his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. This is the great getting up morning. This is the gathering of God's people. This is the harvest of the earth. This is the first resurrection. So there are a lot of wonderful people that believe that the church is leaving at the beginning or in the middle of the 7 years. And it doesn't matter to me, and I don't want to argue with anybody. I'm just giving it to you like I see it in the Word of God. Seems very clear to me. I believe this. Before I ever got the Holy Ghost, I had seen this. Because we came into the Apostolic Church by prophecy. We were studying prophecy as long-haired, wild-eyed unbelievers. But somebody in our circle got a hold of prophecy and brought it into our circle. We started listening to tapes on prophecy. It made us believe the Word of God. Talk to your friends at work. Talk to your relatives and your neighbors about prophecy. They may not want to hear about the oneness of God. They may not be ready for the Holy Ghost just yet. They may not understand when you want to talk to them about their sin. Or please don't do that. Talk to them about your God. Don't talk to them about their sin. Their problem is not their sin. Their problem is they are far from God. You get them close to God. You introduce them to God. And then God talks to them about their sin. That's going to work beautifully. But so this is not to get in a dogfight with anybody about eschatology. We're just simply giving it to you as the Scripture seems to be very overtly giving it to us. But I have a theory about pre, mid, and post-tribulation rapture theories. I believe that the further, the deeper we get into the tribulation, the more post-trib people there will be. In the parables, everybody stays for the ride. Matthew 13, full of parables. Here's the parable of the wheat and the tares. Jesus says, let both of them grow up together into the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat in my barn. And then when Jesus sent the multitudes away, his disciples came to him, and they wanted an explanation for the parable of the wheat and the tares. So he gives it to them. The field is the word. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. He says the harvest comes at the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. So therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The parables are also a treasure trove for understanding hell. There's more about hell in the parables than almost any place else. But then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoso hath ears to hear, let him hear. The parable of the net, also in Matthew chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind. Aren't you glad that God gathers every kind into the church? Aren't you glad that they let you in? Aren't you glad that God brings in all kinds of people? Don't get upset because there's people here that may not live for God, because we gather all kinds of fish, but we don't sort them out. We will sometimes in extraordinary circumstances, but by and large, at the end, at the judgment, God will sort them out. So put your referee shirt and your whistle away. Don't be judging other people around you. Just come in here and live for God and learn and prosper in the kingdom of God, and let God and his angels sort out the winners and the losers, the keepers and the culls. And again, the kingdom is like a net. And so when the net was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. If I was preaching on hell, we would have a lot of material here tonight, but I'm not talking about that. But if you go to hell, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, and you don't want to go there. At the parable of the penny a day in Matthew 20, they all work down to the last hour, and then the Lord of the harvest comes, and he pays them, and it is payday. In Matthew 22, there is the wedding feast, and everybody's invited to the wedding. The Jews won't come, and so he sends them out into the highways and byways and gets Gentiles like me and you, and we get to all come in, and there's all kinds of people at the wedding feast, just like there's all kinds of people in the net of the kingdom. And when the Lord of the wedding feast comes in, he finds a man there without a wedding garment on. That's a picture of the church. There will always be people in the physical house of God that don't have the wedding garment on. And he's going to ask them in that moment, how did you get here without a wedding garment on? How are you still sitting here and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and you're not baptized in Jesus' name and you haven't made a commitment and you're not really living for God? How have you done this? And he said the guy was speechless, and he bound him up, cast him out into weeping, into furnace where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's bad. He went to hell. The parable of the foolish and the wise virgins in Matthew chapter 25. They are all there. They all are in need of oil. When the bridegroom comes, he comes at midnight. He comes at the last hour, and there's a sound that goes forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And those wise virgins get up, and they've got their oil, and they make their way to the rendezvous point, and they're ready to go. And the foolish virgins don't have enough oil, which is Holy Ghost. They're not prayed up. They're not full of the kingdom of God. They've been fooling around with the world, hanging out with the wrong people, living one foot in and one foot out, half baked, half carnal, yeah, not ready to meet God. And when God comes and the shout goes out and the sign of God is in the heavens and the trump sounds, they're going to be scurrying around trying to get it right, trying to pray through. There's an old song that says everybody's going to pray on the very last day. You don't want to wait till then. You want to get this handled in plenty of time. You want to have oil enough in your vessel, Holy Ghost enough in your life to get you ready and get entrance. So the Holy Ghost, the bridegroom comes, and he gets the five wise virgins and brings them in. And then the foolish virgins are on the outside knocking on the door. They are all there until the same time. And then the bridegroom comes and takes the wise virgins into that closed door. So the parables tend to indicate to me that it is that we will all be in the net together until the time of the separation. We will all be in the field together until the time of the separation. We will all be in the same story together, sleeping together like all of those 10 were, until the bridegroom comes, and then we'll all go to our fate or to our destiny there. So the day of the Lord and the second coming. At the second coming, it is near simultaneous to what we're dealing with tonight, the first resurrection. Who is it that's coming back? And when does he come? And then when do we go? But as you stack these stories and these scriptures up, it all seems to indicate that we'll be here to the very end of the 7-year period, the very end of the time of Jacob's trouble. So who's coming back at the second coming? Well, Jesus is coming back. In what form is he coming back? The angels told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus that you've seen leave from this spot in this manner is coming back just like he left. That's a paraphrase. But they said this same Jesus is coming. So we get, before Luke writes Acts chapter 1, we get the prophecy of Zechariah, and he tells us essentially the same thing, but he does it in so much more powerful a way because he talks about it before it ever happens. He talks about Jesus before Jesus is ever born, and he talks about his return before he's ever crucified, and he talks about the nail prints in his hands before he's ever nailed to the cross. Zechariah chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. He's giving you his bona fides. He's letting you know that he is the Lord God of all creation. Behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Okay, this was written 400 plus years before Jesus. This is talking about our day. Israel is back in the land, and all the nations of the earth are preparing to come against Israel. And they are a burdensome stone for everybody in the earth. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day, I'll seek to destroy the God of creation, the God who made all things, is going to seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And so the nations are gathered against Jerusalem. The Antichrist and his armies are there. They're wanting to overthrow the second half of Jerusalem. Half of the city has already fallen. Verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. The God of creation, the mighty God that put the spirit of life in man, is coming back, and he says, when I come back, Israel is going to see me, and when they see me, they're going to look upon me whom they have pierced. This is prophecy. It's before they ever pierce him, but he's coming back. How is he coming back? He's coming back with nail prints in his hands. He said, I'm going to write you upon the palm of my hand. I'm telling you, he's coming back in that same body that they thrust the spear in his side. He's coming back, and he's going to stand on the same spot on the Mount of Olives that he left off of. I'm going to open up to the house of David the spirit of grace and supplication. They'll look upon me whom they have pierced, and they'll mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall it be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. This goes on to talk about how now Israel, after they see him come back, you know what they're going to be doing. They're fighting this last great battle, and they're losing, and half of Jerusalem has fallen, and they don't know what they're going to do, and all of a sudden, the Messiah that they've been waiting for since before the time of Jesus appears in the heavens, and the sign of God is in the sky, and the trump of God sounds, and the light of God runs across from the east to the west, and they are so excited and exhilarated because their God has come, their Messiah is here, and everybody looks up, and they look on him, and when he shows up, he's got nail prints in his hands, and everything is communicated in that moment completely comprehensively. They understand with startling clarity that he already came 2,000 years before, and they crucified him, and they forget about the armies outside the gates, and they forget about the war, and they all drop their weapons, and they all get with their families and get with their tribes. The rest of that chapter is devoted to, and the tribe gets together, and the family gets together, and they all begin to mourn and to weep because they repent before God, because they understand that the first time he came, they blew it. They didn't know him. They killed him. Zechariah 13 and 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? And he shall say, and then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And it's a beautiful moment. Listen to what's happening. God is coming back. The harvest is being gathered. The dead in Christ are rising. The Jews recognize him for who he is. And the clock turns, and a nation turns back to its God. And they're about to begin on a 1,000-year relationship where Israel worships God and the whole world worships. Every false thing is cut out of the earth, and every false religion is shut down, and all the kingdoms of men are closed down, and now there's only one God, and there's only one way, and it's all over the earth from one horizon to the next, and everybody's going to come up to Jerusalem to worship God. This is the coming of the Lord. This is Armageddon. This is the beginning of the millennial, and this is the catching away of God's people. It's not a secret coming. You doing okay? 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. Here's our trump again. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be ignorant. Yeah. Concerning those that are asleep, this is a euphemism for those that have died in God. They are only sleeping. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We don't sorrow like the world sorrows, because when we bury them and they're ready to meet God, we know we're going to see them again. When we put them down in the grave, we know that grave is going to get all messed up. Buy a cheap casket. Buy a cheap headstone. Don't let them get you in there and say, oh, got to have the best for your loved one. Like it matters. Your loved one standing in heaven saying, don't spend that money. Okay, I'll leave you alone. Don't sorrow like the world sorrows. We have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a whisper, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. There's going to be a little bit of a thing there where the dead in Christ rise first and then we catch up. I don't know what the time interval is on that, but it can't be much. It's all happening in just a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So the guys that are dead already are going to say, "Beat you. I was first." You know how people are. They're like John when John runs to the tomb to see where Jesus lay. And he says, I outran Peter to the tomb. People are crazy. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Won't you just practice that just for a minute right now? Turn to somebody by you and say, the Lord's coming and the dead in Christ are going to rise. Don't be ignorant about that. And we're going to be caught up and we're going to be changed. And there we're going to live for. Do you believe you're going to forever live with the Lord? Do you believe that this is true and real? Listen to me, if you got a body that's starting to wear out, you're going to get a new body. If you've got a problem in your physical man or woman, you're going to get a brand new body. The dead in Christ are going to rise. The sick in their bodies are going to be healed. Everything's going to be made right in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's worth shouting about. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus, by our gathering together unto him. You see how Paul puts the two together, his coming and our going, and he talks about it in the same breath. That you soon not be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or word or letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He talks about his coming and our going as the day of Christ. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day singular, shall not come except there be a falling away first. A whole lot of people are going to go off chasing after the devil. And that man of sin be revealed. The Antichrist is going to be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple. So before the Lord comes and before the church leaves, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. And on down into the body of this to let you know what kind of day it's going to be. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness. I just love verses like that because it says, and the Antichrist is going to be revealed. And you think that might be some big ominous thing, but it just kind of almost casually says that the Lord will destroy with the brightness of his coming. God just showing up destroys the devil. Isn't that neat? It's not a big deal at all to God. It's not a big cosmic war. Don't get all bent out of shape about the devil. Get your head screwed on right. Do your job. Live for God. The only power the devil has in your life is what you give him. If you want to live bound up in fear, then the devil will accommodate you. If you want to be a slave to sin, the devil will accommodate you. But if you want to live for God, the devil doesn't have any power over you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? Jesus said, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and most of the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. And then the wicked will be revealed. The Lord will consume with the brightness of his coming, the spirit of his mouth. And even him whose coming is after Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. He's going to have a lot of very real power. God gives it to him. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. Why do they perish? Because they don't love the truth. They perish because they don't love the truth. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, if you don't love the truth, you'll perish. Well, then ask whoever told you to ask them, what is the truth? That's what Pilate asked Jesus. Jesus didn't answer him, but you know what the truth is. Why don't you tell them what the truth is? Some of you just stupefied, astonied. You're not telling anybody anything. You need to break it down for them. The truth is, there's only one God. His name is Jesus. He shed his blood. My sins are going to get washed away. If you get baptized in Jesus' name, God will wash every sin away. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, God's going to raise you up on the very last day. You've got a message to give them. Not only do we know what the truth is, we love it. Do you love the truth tonight? Are you glad for the truth of God tonight? I used to hear the old timers testify, and they would begin by saying, I love the truth tonight. Is there any young man or young woman in this house that would say tonight, I love the truth of God? You know what insulates you against the devil? You fall in love with the truth. You know what insulates you in the day of the Antichrist? You fall in love with the truth. I love it more than anything in my life. That has to be your mantra. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. If you don't love truth, God will send you an exit to get off on. That they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, I'm about to quit. So whoever's going to play, come, and I won't tell you what to play. So here's 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is all about resurrection. The first over half of the chapter has to do with the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that some people are already talking about, even in the mid-50s AD, talking about how maybe there was no resurrection or Christ is not risen. And Paul says, are you crazy? If Christ has not been raised, then we're all without hope. We are of all men most miserable. He said the resurrection is the hub of this whole thing. He was proven to be God by the resurrection from the dead. The Spirit of holiness raised him up from the dead. And Paul is driving that home. And then he begins to talk about resurrection in regard to us. So is also the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. Everything God has called you to be, when the trumpet sounds, you're going to be that. When you step foot in the kingdom of God on the other side, you're going to be everything you are warring to be right now. Everything you are praying and seeking God to be, you're going to be that. Everything that the flesh and the natural mind wars against you, all of that's going to be gone. And corruption will put on incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. You're going to have what we call a glorified body. John says this in 1 John 3. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but he said, we know that when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You're going to have a body like unto his glorious body, Philippians chapter 3. And Job says, in your flesh, you're going to see the Lord. Job's flesh is scattered all over the where. Job's got flesh out in the ocean, in tributaries, up in trees, caught on the wind and blown halfway around the world. He's dust 10 times over. But God's going to bring that little dusty body. Whoop. Do you believe anything's too hard for God? Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. And that in the last day, he's going to stand upon this earth. And he said, I'm going to see him for myself and not another. Nobody's going to have to tell me about it. And he said, even though the skin worms devour my flesh, in this body, I'm going to see the Lord. So it's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body. There's a spiritual body. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam that Paul is talking about here is Jesus Christ. First, you have to walk in this natural body. But then you're going to get a body like unto his glorious body. Your first body is like your first daddy, Adam. Your second body is going to be like your last daddy, Jesus. your last Adam. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So you come into the world naturally, and you come into the kingdom of God as a natural man or a natural woman, and then you have that event instant where you're filled with the Spirit of God, and you become a new creation, and now you're going to live for God, and now you're growing in the kingdom of God, and you're learning and progressing toward being that spirit man or spirit woman that comes after the natural. First, that which is natural, then that which is spirit. The first man is of the earth, earthy. You're like the dirt. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's a great oneness passage, by the way. As is the earthy, so those that are earthy. As is the heavenly, so those that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the image of the earthy, which shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Just as sure as you're sitting here, your heart is beating, you're breathing this air, and you're living in your body, just as sure as you're here tonight, you're going to wear a heavenly body. You're going to have a brand new body. It's going to last you for the first 1,000 years of the millennial. It's going to break out on the other side of the great white throne judgment. It's going to send you off into eternity, and we're going to walk 500 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 50,000 years from now, you're going to be still dancing and shouting in that same body. Your elbow's not going to wear out. Your knees are not going to wear out. Yep. You're not going to need new parts or spare parts. You're not going to need anything that you're doing right now to keep this body going, because you're going to have a body that, like his body, that'll last forever. Somebody say praise the Lord. He said, now I'm telling you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're not all going to pass through the veil of death, but we're all going to be changed in a moment. That's how quick it's going to be when that trump sounds. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump, here it is again. This thing's going to be noisy and loud and full of lights. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Do you have anybody planted out on a hillside in this city? Their body is there. Their spirit is long since in the presence of God. But I'm telling you, it's going to mess up a lot of real estate in this area when that trump sounds. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be change. You got to put on incorruption. You got to put on immortality. And when that's happened, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. God's coming back. We're going up yonder. This thing is wrapping up. The prophecy is all around us every day, and he's about to come. I got a feeling there's an angel standing in heaven, and he's got a trumpet in his hand. And I don't know if it's numbered, number 7, but he knows what his number is. He's the last trump. He's the 7th trump. He's already got it in his hand. I don't know if he's practicing or what, but it's going to be a trumpet sound that's going to be so loud. Oh, it's going to wake the dead. It's going to cause them to rise up out of the grave, and their body and their spirit are going to be reunited. And you're going to be in the middle, reaching for a cup of coffee, handing off a piece of paper, tightening down on a wrench, driving down the high. I don't know where you're going to be, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, oh, you're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds. The Bible said, there will we ever be with the Lord. My God, it's going to be, you're not going to have a moment to think about it. You're not going to have a moment to repent. You're not going to have a moment to get it right. You won't be able to go out and buy any oil. You won't be able to go and find out what it means to be right with God. You're going to have to get this right before the trumpet sounds. The trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and it's going to be all over, honey. I'm telling you, I'm glad tonight to have an opportunity in the house of God to be filled with the Spirit one more time. time to hear the word of God one more time, to be able to talk about the things of God in a safe moment. And to find myself, I'm so glad to be able to lay my head down tonight and say, Jesus, if you come in the middle of the night, if I go in the middle of the night, I'm glad to be ready to meet God. Let's clap our hands, lift our voice, magnify him, magnify him. When the seventh trump sounds, the men of the earth and the kings and all the mighty men are going to be crying till the rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of the one that's on the throne. But we're going to be dancing. We're going to be dancing. They're looking for a hiding place, but we already found the hiding place. They're looking for a covering, but we already found a covering. They're looking for a safe place, but we already found a safe place. I'm glad I'm in the house of God tonight. I'm glad for the blood. I'm glad for this Holy Ghost. I'm glad for the sure word of God. Are you glad tonight? I'm glad that he's coming. I'm glad that this world is not my home. I'm glad that we're not staying here. I'm glad that we're going to lose everything that's here except the immortal soul, the word of God, and the promise of God. I'm glad that my money's going to burn up. I'm glad that my house is going to burn up. I'm glad that my truck is going to burn up. I'm glad that... Where's your heart? Where's your devotion? Now listen, somebody's going to be, as it was in the days of Noah, somebody's going to be doing everything when the Lord comes. Now, every young lady wants to get married. Maybe not. But people think about the coming of the Lord. I hope he waits till I graduate. I hope he waits till I get my own apartment. I hope he waits till I get a husband or a wife. I hope he, don't hope he waits. I hope he comes before we see the next sunrise. You know what the song of the church is in the end time? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I don't want to wait on another thing. I want him to come tonight. Wouldn't you like to be with the Lord tonight? Wouldn't you like to dance on golden streets tonight? Wouldn't you like to stand in his presence tonight? Don't let anything be bigger than your devotion to God. Don't let anything be bigger than your heart for God. Don't let anything be bigger. You're smiling. You're already married. Hey, lay your hand on somebody and say, are you ready? Let's get ready. Are you ready? Let's be ready. Are you ready? Let's stay ready. My God, are you glad to be a part of the church of the living God tonight? Come on, somebody clap your hands. Somebody lift your voice. Somebody magnify him. Hallelujah. I want somebody to dance right now like you're going to dance when you wake up in the middle of the throne room of God. I want somebody to dance right now, just like you're gonna dance when you realize, my God, I just got raptured. I just got caught up into heaven with God. I want somebody to praise him right now, like you're gonna praise him when you step over to the other side. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Hey, if anybody asks you, say, where are you going? Tell them I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. Tell them I'm going. say, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Hey, there ain't no sickness over there. There ain't no dying over there. There ain't no crying over there. I'm going up yonder. No more goodbyes over there. No more sorrow over there. No more heartbreak over there. I'm going up yonder. You young people sing. Going up yonder. Going up yonder.
Going up yonder.
Going to be with Jesus.
Going up yonder.
You're not nearly as excited about this as you ought to be. Hey, find yourself a dancing partner just for a minute here. This is how we're gonna dance over there. This is how we're gonna shout over there. This is how we're gonna worship over there. Yeah, sing what you want. If you're not ready to meet God, you ought to be in this altar tonight. If you got something to lay down, you need to come lay it down tonight. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another hour. Bring your life to God tonight.